verses 18 and 19, and then verse number 36. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. Verse number 36. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. For a text, I turn into the book of Genesis, the 19th chapter, beginning at verse number 19. Behold now, thy servant hath found grace in thy sight, and thou hast magnified thy mercy, which thou hast showed unto me in saving my life. And I cannot escape to the mountain, lest some evil take me and I die. Behold now, this city is near to flee unto, and it is a little one. Oh, let me escape thither. Is it not a little one? And my soul shall live. And he said unto him, See, I have accepted thee concerning this thing also, that I will not overthrow this city for the which thou hast spoken. Haste thee, escape thither, for I cannot do anything till thou be come thither. I'm choosing the 22nd verse for my text. Haste thee, escape thither, for I cannot do anything till thou be come thither. Now, I want to use this thought tonight, saved from wrath. When these messengers came to Sodom and Gomorrah and brought the news to Lot that they were there to overthrow these cities and to destroy them, Lot somehow, as he pleaded for mercy, he said, I cannot go to the mountains, he said, because some evil will overtake me. He said, let me go to this little city, he said, and my life will be spared. The messenger said, all right, we will grant you this privilege that you may go to the little city and your life will be spared. But the messenger told Lot, said, hurry it up, make haste, get out of here, because I cannot destroy this city until you are gone. Until you leave this place, I cannot, in any sense of the word, destroy this city. I'm going to use that tonight for a thought. There is something in this world tonight that is holding back the wrath of God. There are some things that God cannot do and some things He will not do as long as there is a certain thing in this world. And I'm going to prove what that certain thing is tonight. Did you know that every man and woman, boy and girl, that's living outside of Jesus Christ tonight, you are living under the shadow of the wrath of God Almighty. And when you talk about the wrath of man, the tribulation of man, you don't even make a comparison between the wrath of man and the wrath of God. The Bible teaches the wrath of an angry God. Wrath, wrath. Now, really, what is holding back the wrath of God, and what are we saved from? The messengers could not destroy Sodom and Gomorrah until Lot got out of Sodom and Gomorrah. All that they got out was this: Lot, his wife, and two single daughters. When he made a circle around town and tried to get his son-in-laws out of the city, did you know they left him to scorn? They left him to scorn. Let me tell you something, friend. There is a preserving power that exists in this world tonight. It lies in the church. It lies in the church. There's something that God cannot do, and there's something that He will not do as long as His body, His church, is in this world.
Yes.
Saved from wrath. I want to take Scripture tonight, and I'm going to give you many Scriptures, and I'm going to take Scripture after Scripture after Scripture to prove something else concerning the wrath of God and how we are saved from His wrath. I go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Now notice chapter 5, verses 9 and 10. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through or by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with Him. Now this is what I cannot understand, and I am at a loss to understand why that some Bible teachers and Bible scholars, they write commentaries. And a lot of preachers will preach and teach that the living church of our eternal God, which is very much alive tonight, the church is alive and God is alive. Neither one of them are dead tonight. I believe that. The church is not dead and our God is not dead. How they can bring the church, the body of Jesus Christ, down into the tribulation period and let Jesus Christ commission angels to go from heaven with vials of wrath, with bowls of wrath, and pour this wrath out upon His bride-to-be, His church, His body. The Scripture tells me that Christ is the head of the church, the body. And I can never understand how that men can preach and teach that the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of the truth, has to go through tribulation to be saved at the judgment seat of Jesus Christ. When Paul, the great teacher and the great preacher, he said that God has not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. Now let me go back to the same book, chapter 1. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verses 9 and 10. Notice now. For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for His Son from heaven, whom He raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. Why, that's so plain and so simple. Every unsaved person tonight lives under the shadow of guilt and condemnation and the wrath of Almighty God. But every baptized believer in Jesus Christ, we have passed from death unto life. We have passed out from under condemnation and guilt and wrath. And now we have believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And we have life in us. And that life is in Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Now I want to take you to a verse in the 5th chapter of the book of Romans. And when I studied this afresh this afternoon in my Bible study, Romans chapter 5, verses 8 and 9, it really did something to me. Romans chapter 5, verses 8 and 9. But God commendeth His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. Now, I want to take you to five different translations of the Bible, and I want to give you some great scriptures right now. Romans chapter 5, verse 8 and 9, I want you to get that down. Much more then, being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. Now, who is Him? That's Jesus, He said. We are saved through Jesus. Did not Jesus say, I'm the door to the sheepfold? Did not Jesus say, I'm the way, the truth, and the life? No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Can you say, praise the Lord? We have found life in Him, and by finding life in Him, we have been delivered from the wrath of God that is yet to come. Now, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. Translation number one, God has not destined us for wrath. Number two, God has not destined us to incur His anger. Number three, for God appointed us not to reap His wrath. Number four, for God has not destined us to the terrors of judgment. Number five, for God did not choose us to condemn us. Hallelujah. Oh, brother, let me tell you. For God did not choose us to condemn us. Now, here's how it would stack up if the other teaching is right. I believe it's an error. I believe it's error. I don't believe it's truth. But here is how it would stack up. You'd come to Jesus. He'd save you. You get washed in His blood, filled with His Spirit, and get baptized in His name. Then if you was alive at the rapture when the Lord comes again, now He'd say, I'm going to take you down into tribulation and pour out my wrath upon my church. When the Scripture says that we are delivered, are saved from wrath through Jesus Christ. We're not saved in wrath. We are saved from wrath. Not in wrath, but from wrath. When you get saved from death, you know what that means. From death. It's separate and apart from you. Jesus said, I've come that you might have life and that more abundantly. Hallelujah. He didn't choose us to condemn us. He has not destined us to the terrors of judgment. For God appointed us not to reap His wrath. I'm going to show you by Holy Scripture who is going to reap the wrath of God Almighty. You know, so many people, they tell me that God is too good to do certain things, and He'll never punish people, and He'll never commit anybody to hell, and nobody will ever go to hell, and all of these arguments that you hear every day. Let me tell you, friend, when you get saved, you are saved from something to something. You are saved from something to something. You come out of something into something. Hallelujah. You are not empty anymore. For the Bible said, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Now somebody will say, why is there a rapture? I'm going to answer two important questions. Why is there a rapture? And why is there a tribulation period? I'm going to answer those two questions. Why is there a rapture? Now remember, my basic thought had to do with Lot and the messengers. The messenger said, hurry up. Make haste. I cannot do a thing until you're out of this city. Let me tell you, friend, you know what's holding back the wrath of God tonight? It's the praying folks of this world. It's the church of this world. That's what's holding back the wrath of God. Now, the question, why will the church be translated, or why will there be a rapture? Number one, that sin may come to a head. As long as the church is in the world, sin can never come to a head. The church is the salt of the earth, the light of the world. And there can never be complete apostasy while the salt is in the world. While the restraining influence of the people of God is in the earth, while the Holy Spirit hinder Satan's work through the saints in whom he dwells. Sin will come to a head in the person of the Antichrist. But Satan cannot put the Antichrist into the world while the church of the Lord Jesus Christ and the Spirit of God are in the earth. When the church has been caught up, then sin will begin to mount up to its climax. Make haste and get out of here. That's why there will be a translation. The wrath cannot come. The Antichrist cannot come until that hindering cause has been taken out of the way. And that hindering cause is the church. And the Holy Ghost lives and dwells in that church. Number two. Why a translation? Why a rapture? That the church may escape the judgments which will sweep the earth. When a nation goes to war with another nation, it always withdraws its ambassador. It sends word to him, and he goes home. That is the first step, the first declaration of war. Before the great judgments of God sweep the earth, God is going to take the church out of the way. That's why I'm preaching. Make haste and let's get out of here. Hallelujah. Make haste and get out. Because as long as this church is in the world, this can never transpire. But it won't be long until the sound of the trump of God is going to be heard. The dead in Christ shall be raised first, and then we which are alive and remain shall be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, and we shall arise to meet the Lord in the air. And when Christ comes, He's coming for His church. There is one head and there's one church. Anything that has two heads is a freak of nature. The head of thy church does not occupy a place in this world. The head of thy church occupies the throne of eternal glory. He sits in heaven. And I've tried to visualize how the rapture was going to take place. And I believe I've got it pretty well right. At the sound of the trump of God, the head of thy church is going to start toward the earth. His body is going to start toward heaven. And out there somewhere in midair, the head and the body will be joined together. And Paul said, we shall forever be with the Lord. When you get home tonight, you may be a little tired. You get out of your car, park it in a driveway, and start around the corner of the house. And when you do, you suddenly meet a body with two heads. You ain't got no rheumatism. You don't even have arthritis. There ain't nothing wrong with you. You know what you'd start doing? You'd start picking them up and putting them down. I know what you'd do. Then somebody tells me, there's 500 churches, the 250 churches. Go to the church of your choice. Jesus Christ never did build but one church. He never did lay but one foundation. He's the head of that one church. And soon, from the glory world, He's going to return to take this hindering cause out of the way. And when He takes this hindering cause out of the way, then the judgments of God will sweep this earth. But it can't do it until we get out of here. We're holding it down tonight. Now then, why a tribulation? Six reasons. Found in the book of Daniel. Number one, to finish the transgression. The finishing of it will be the turning away of the ungodliness from Jacob. Number two, to make an end to sins. The sins of Israel. Number three, to make reconciliation for iniquity. Israel's iniquity in the rejection of Jesus Christ. Number four, to bring in everlasting righteousness. The king shall come and the earthly kingdom restored to Israel. Number five, to seal up the vision and prophecy. When they are in direct communion with God, there will be no need for visions of a prophet. Number six, to anoint the most holy. Now that's why there is a tribulation period, And this period is known in the Bible as the time of Jacob's trouble. If people could only understand that this period of time has nothing to do with the church whatsoever. When God rings down the curtain in Revelation chapter 3, the last verse opens up the fourth chapter, the first two verses, Jesus comes for his saints at the sound of the trump of God. The church is no more mentioned on earth until he comes back in the Revelation in chapter 19, seated upon a white horse. Hallelujah. This has nothing to do with the church. Tribulation here is not given for the perfection of the church. The tribulation is given for the purification of Israel. It's the time of Jacob's trouble. Has nothing to do with the church whatsoever. Because the church is up here all the time that the tribulation period is going on. Oh yes, hallelujah. But we're in a hurry to get out of here. And when we get out of here, then judgment's coming. Just like the fire and the brimstone that came up on the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. I'm telling you tonight with all sincerity that the Antichrist cannot reveal himself, or he cannot be revealed until the hindering cause is taken out of the way, and that's the Holy Ghost that lives in the body of Christ, and that body is his church. Praise God. I'm trying to get you out of here tonight. I said, I'm trying to get you out of here tonight. Saved from wrath. Now let me go to Ephesians chapter 5, verses 6 and 7. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon his church, his baptized believers. Now, let us think for a minute. Some people are so discouraged. I had someone to tell me some time ago, Brother Gimlin, I just don't know whether I'm going to make it or not. I said, why can't you make it? Well, I'm worried to death about the tribulation period. I am so worried when I get over in the tribulation period that I won't have grace to refuse the mark of the beast. And then, because I don't believe I could give my life for Jesus Christ like that. I said, if you believe the Bible, I said, you're going to believe that you won't ever get into the tribulation period. That's what I'm trying to preach to people tonight. You see, the devil's got a lot of folks blinded along this line. Let me tell you, my friend, that Antichrist will never touch a New Testament member. Now, that's going to bring in a lot more talk when I get a little further down. Who's going to be saved in tribulation? Somebody said, I believe that you save some folks in tribulation. Well, I said, I believe you save some folks before Calvary. There'll be folks saved before there was a law given by God to Moses on Mount Sinai. There'll be people saved under the law. And I'm going to show you one night who's going to be saved in the tribulation. Now, don't get your hopes up. Brother Gannon, I once knew God. I'm a backslider. What if I'm here when the rapture comes? Listen, brother, you can just kiss it goodbye. You won't be saved. A man that sat under the sound of the gospel night after night, if you can't get saved with a warm spirit of God in conviction now, you won't get saved in the tribulation. I'm not going to give you a false hope tonight. Brother, let me tell you, you've done batted the ball one time too many when you reject Jesus Christ. When you reject the clarion call of the gospel, let me tell you, the Holy Ghost came to convict. That's another subject. I'm excited again tonight. Let no man deceive you with vain words, because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. That word disobedience right here means unbelief or unbelievers. The wrath of God cometh upon unbelievers. It comes upon unbelief. It comes upon disobedience, and not upon a man that has obeyed the form of doctrine from his heart that was delivered unto him. Hallelujah. We are saved from wrath because we plunged in the fountain of sinner. We came out a blood-washed child of God. Now we have found safety in Jesus Christ. Let me quote Proverbs 18 and 10. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and is safe. Proverbs 30 and 4. Who hath ascended? Who hath descended? Who's bound the waters in a garment? Gathered the wind in his fist? What is his name and what is his son's name? If thou canst tell. John 5:43. Jesus said, I am come in my Father's name, and you receive me not. But if another comes in his own name, him you will receive. Matthew 1:21, a virgin shall conceive and bring forth a son. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Let me tell you, friend, the name of the Lord is Jesus. Jesus is the Lord. He is the safety had in place. He is the place of safety. Hallelujah. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into that name and they're safe. Hallelujah, hallelujah. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 1 through 9 teaches us as a hindering cause, keeping the Antichrist from being revealed. Oh, he's coming. As long as there is a church in this world that preaches the gospel, this Antichrist can never manifest or reveal himself. That scripture proves it. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and 9. You know, there's always a reason why that these men wrote these letters to these different churches. There was two errors that Paul had to correct. And he writes in Thessalonians to correct these two errors. Error number one, the saints that had died, they thought they would have no part with Christ in his kingdom. Somehow they believed even in the early Bible days that Christ would come just in a minute. But the saints that had died, the people thought that they would have no part in his kingdom. He writes 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 13 to correct that error. He wrote concerning those that are dead and those that are alive. He was correct in that error. Even though you die, a saint of God that dies, that's no defeat. That's victory. That's no defeat. That's victory. You hear me tonight. When you stumble into the cemetery and sleep for a while, if the Bible means what it says, if the Word of God is true, and I believe that it is, the Bible teaches that this dead saint will be resurrected and have a glorious body like that of Jesus Christ. He had to correct that error. Then error number two. They were having a hard time and they thought that they were living in the day of tribulation, the day of the Lord. The rapture had come and they had missed it, and that they were living in the day of the Lord because they were having a rough time, a lot of persecution. Now you remember there's a lot of difference between the persecution of man and the wrath of man and the wrath of God. Now every time the Bible said tribulation, it doesn't mean the great tribulation. Paul suffered many things. He was beaten and left for dead. Many shipwrecks. Beat with many stripes. He was betrayed by his own countrymen. All of these things were but tribulation from the hand of man. But you wait, my friend, when this church is gone and the Antichrist rises. He's going to make a covenant with the Jews for 1 week. If people could stop long enough and understand that God determined 70 weeks upon Israel, not upon the church, upon Israel. When Christ died, 6 to 9 weeks of those was fulfilled when he died. Then the church came into being. The 70th week had to be fulfilled somewhere. That's the gap from the rapture until Christ comes back again. This is the 70th week of Daniel's prophecy. 7 years of tribulation, wrath, vials, trumpets, angels, false prophet, the beast, false church, everything takes place in here. Somebody said, will there be a church on earth during the tribulation? Yes, a false church, a false religious system. You talk about the rapture when it takes place. You talk about get religious the next morning or the next night. Churches will be filled. What's happened? Somebody's missing. The phone will ring. Have you seen my wife? Have you seen my husband? You'll hear it worldwide. Something's happened. People are missing. They have completely disappeared. I'll tell you what's happened. The rapture has come and they slipped away to go yonder to be with Him, to meet Him. Hallelujah, hallelujah. But He can't do anything until we leave the country. The messengers couldn't do a thing about destruction until Lot left the city. You hear me tonight, don't you? Oh, somebody said that little old church. They don't know much. I'll put my brains up against anybody. I've got sense. I'm not an idiot. I know what I'm doing. I'll roll my brains up against anybody in Orange County. I'm not a doctor. I'm not a lawyer, but I know what I'm doing. You wait till that trump sounds. They're going to find out who's been smart. I said, they're going to find out who's been smart. Listen, did you ever see anybody shout? How long has it been? How long has it been since you shouted? How long has it been since you really got excited? You know, one night I sat in a place, the power of God was just falling like rain. And I saw a lot of people. You know, some people shout funny. And when they all get to shouting, one fellow said, I don't understand. You all said, I saw somebody shouting in your church and everybody was laughing at him. I said, no. I said, we was laughing with him. I said, we weren't laughing at him. We just laughing with him. And you get to shouting, you know, and you just want to go. You just want to go. When you get the Holy Ghost, you know what's in you? The power of the resurrection is already in you. That's right. The power of the resurrection is already in you. And you'll get to shouting, you know. And I've seen people jump so high when they shout. But they could just jump so high and that was it. You know what the Lord would do? He'd just gently lay His hand on your head. Now, son, daughter, you're going to have to wait just a little while. See, I know you're trying to get out of here, but you're going to have to wait a little while and I'll just hold you down. I know you've got it in there, and all I've got to do is just to sound the trumpet, and yonder you'd go. But now it's not quite time. I want to do a little more work in the earth before I call you out. And He just gently lays His hand on your head, you know, and he holds you down, but you're trying to go all at the same time. But He's holding you down. But you wait till gravitation loses its hold up on the body of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. We're going to leave this world with a shout at the sound of the trump of God. The messenger said, hurry up, Lot. Hurry up. Hurry up. Make haste. I can't destroy until you get out of here. Oh, brother, the Lord is telling us to hurry up, pray, have a revival, get a lot of folks saved, because I want to call you home so I can deal then with the children of disobedience. Hurry up and get out of here. Listen, one of the most solemn scriptures that I've ever read in my life, I'm going to read it right now. Revelation chapter 14, verses 9 and 10. Revelation chapter 14, verses 9 and 10. And the third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, if any man worship the beast and his image, and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation. Cups in the Bible was a very familiar thing. They used cups to drink from. Even in the Old Testament, the psalmist said, I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the Lord. Paul said, there's the cup of the Lord. Then there's the cup of devil. The cup. Everybody that shall take his mark, his name, or his number, if you worship him or his image, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation. Mixture. There'll be no mercy there. There'll be no grace there. There'll be no forgiveness there. There'll be no man or woman to take a red flag and try to flag you down and to keep you out of hell. You've gone too far. You're going to drink the wine of his wrath. Pour it out without mixture. It's not mixed with grace. It's not mixed with forgiveness. It's plain down to earth wrath, where men will have to drink from the cup of his indignation. And he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. You know what people are doing tonight? They're saying, stay away from that hellfire and brimstone preacher. You'd be surprised at the preachers tonight that are filling prominent pulpits across this nation of ours that's supposed to be a Christian nation. They do not even believe in hell. They've denied the virgin birth of the Son of God. They've taken the fire out of hell, the blood out of religion, and they've taken the joy out of salvation. But I'm here to tell you, there's a fire in hell. There's joy in the Holy Ghost. And it takes the blood of Jesus Christ to wash that sinner's sins all away. And it makes him a new creature in Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. It takes the blood to wash the sinner's sins away. And he shall be tormented. Tormented. Brother Gamlin, God's too good to do that. He's given men an opportunity. You know what happens in this period here? There are people, when this is poured out, some people, instead of repenting, the Bible said they curse God. They curse God. There'll be a day there when people will want to die and they can't die. They'll seek death, but it'll flee from them. Get up on a river bridge, like the Rainbow Bridge, to jump off. You won't die. You'll just float to the water. You can't die. Take a pistol to your head. You can't pull the trigger. If you would, it wouldn't fire. The Bible said they'll seek after death. They'll go everywhere seeking death. Maybe take poison. Try to commit suicide with a gun. Poison. Jump off of a river bridge. Get in the way of a train. Somehow, the Bible said, they'll seek death, but it will flee from them. They can't die. They want to die, but they can't die. Listen. And the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever. They have no rest, day nor night, who worship the beast and his image, and whosoever receiveth the mark of his name. Fire and brimstone. Did it ever occur to you that after the resurrection, that sleep would be gone? Have you ever been so tired and sleepy until you thought if you couldn't get to sleep that you'd just die? Did you know after the resurrection, there will be a resurrection of the saints. There will be a resurrection of the unbelievers. There'll be a resurrection of the righteous, the just, the holy, the unholy. But after the resurrection, there'll be no more sleep for eternity. Did it ever dawn on you like that? There'll be no more sleep forever and ever. The saints won't need it. We'll be basking in the presence of Jesus Christ forever and forever. There'll be no night there. There'll be no night there. The people in hell, the Bible said, they'll have no rest, day nor night, night nor day. When 1,000 years passes, no sleep. 10,000 years passes, and no sleep. Eternity, eternity, eternity. 1,000,000 years, and no sleep. Just in a boiling lake of fire. You'll go to the top and then sink back down again. The thoughts, the thoughts, the thoughts. My God, there's men that I know. There's women that I know that have stood in the meetings that I've helped. And they stood at the pew. They held the back of the pew. They rejected God. They're gone now. If they could come back in this church where you are, they'd have a testimony. They wouldn't stand back tonight. They would weep their way to Calvary. They'd seek God with everything within them because they then would want to be saved. Eternity. 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 No rest. Day or night. No rest. The unsaved can't sleep. The saints won't need it. When you think of wrath, wrath, there's nothing like it. There's nothing like it, my friend. Tormented day and night. This period of time, the rivers will be turned to blood. The sea will be turned to blood. Punishment. My God. Boils is going to come on the bodies of men. This world is headed for its bloodbath tonight. Armageddon is just around the corner. The beast, the spirit of the Antichrist is already in the world. But it can't reveal itself until this hindering cause is taken out of the way. God is saying, hurry it up. Pray. Seek. Try to have a revival. Get somebody saved.